Well, I thank the Lord for that song. It can almost seem a little melancholy, but it's full of resolve. Lord, whatever we go through, I want to follow you. And that's something that the Lord wants us to have settled in our mind. And again, I want to tell you that I feel like the Lord has given me something to share this morning, but I may not be able to give it with a whole lot of exuberance. So I just ask for your mercy. Hopefully the Lord will bless the thought to our hearts today. Be beneficial to us. It seems like I may have preached a message here recently. I'm not sure when it was Keep Your Heart. Did I preach one that entitled Keep Thy Heart? I'm not sure. I may have. But it's kind of in that same vein this morning. Keep your heart and mind. Because that's in part of what Brother Paul wrote to the Philippians. And I want to read some of Philippians, the fourth chapter. And we're probably going to be also over in Proverbs, where that other verse is a little. But Philippians 4 and 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Sounds like Brother Paul was very... He loved these folks. He was very predisposed to them with a great shepherd's heart, a desire to help them, a desire to keep them informed and encouraged in the gospel, wanted them to stay steadfast in the Lord. And one of the early messages of the church wasn't just to encourage people to stay established and connected to the Lord. You see, that phrase meant, to the Jewish tradition, it meant Yahweh or Jehovah when they said the Lord. But when it came to Jesus Christ, the advent of Jesus Christ, it didn't only mean the Lord in the Jewish sense, but the Lord Jesus Christ also. That was, thank you. I think this one has already appreciated. But the Lord, when they said the Lord in the early church, it wasn't just built, it wasn't just the like Jehovah, but this included and especially focused our minds many times in the New Testament. It focused our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ and what came through Jesus Christ. So Brother Paul was talking here to these Philippians. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I believe that some of the standing fast that they needed to do was still realize that their hope was in Jesus. And through Jesus, that opened the door of connection again to the Father Himself. This was something greater than the old law system. This was something that they could come and enter in and find a communion with the Lord. Something that people hadn't well done for many years. So here, through Jesus Christ, there was a door open, and such a wonderful truth that we find. When Jesus said it's finished and he died on Calvary, you know what happened? Not only did the heavens seem to bow their head, and sun was darkened, there was a lot of things happened, but the veil was rent in the temple. There was something there that veil had represented a certain amount of not just reverence to the Lord, but a certain amount of separation that common people couldn't come close to the Lord. We should still keep the great reverence for Him, but the Lord wants us to know that He's opened His arms and said, we can come near Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord this morning. As we look into the Scripture, even the songs that we sang this morning, it depicted a closeness that we can have with our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have with the Lord, a closeness that we couldn't have before. Not quite like we have today, and I'm so thankful for that. So Brother Paul was encouraging these Philippians here to still be able to be steadfast, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. I don't know exactly how your Bible says to pronounce that, but that's how my Bible says I'm supposed to. These two brethren, I wonder why he said, I beseech them. And he said, goes on to say that they be of the same mind in the Lord. It kind of leaves the idea in my mind that he wouldn't have needed to say that if they were not, maybe they'd had little problems not being in the same mind. They were human. They were like you and I. They came to services there together, and there must have been some issues that they saw a little differently. That wasn't uncommon in the early morning church, nor does it seem to be uncommon in the human experience that we have today. But Brother Paul was telling them, keep your focus right, brothers. Don't let this thing cause trouble. Be of the same mind, I beseech you, brethren. And he called them brothers. I beseech you, Euodias, and maybe he didn't call them brothers here. And Anyway, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. In my mind, I wondered why he pointed that out. But he put a focus in this verse. Help those women, my true yoke fellows. Help those women that's labored with me in the gospel. Support them. I don't know what all he meant by he said to help them, but he put special emphasis in this verse to help those women who labored with him in the gospel. With Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Wonderful place to have your name, isn't it? Name in the book of life. We find over in the book of Revelation that this mentioned also the book of life. It must have been something that the Jews recognized as a place that once your name's enrolled there, you were accepted by the Lord. But we find over in the letters to the churches in the first part of Revelation that there was a warning that for some people, God told them in that these congregations to amend their ways, and at the risk of having their names taken out of the book of life. So it lets us know God wants us to be careful. God wants us not to just live our life carelessly. And so when we think of that, we start thinking about our heart. And he's going to mention some of that here in a little bit, but decisions are made. It has to do with things I want and how my mind gets involved with the things I want. And how well, I believe there's a reason why it was spoken of in the Scripture to keep your hearts with all diligence. That's over in Proverbs. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, let me see if I can, yes, Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I Can I stop? I'm going to step aside here a little bit and try to give you my definition of the heart. And what I'm saying here is not this beating muscle that's in our breasts. That's not what we're talking about here today. It's something, this is a spiritual connotation here. In this context, I would characterize our hearts as being that part of us which demonstrates to everyone looking on what we really want, where my desires are. We're going to pretty well do what we want. People, we're going to assess. You know, if I was trying to tell you that I was a Christian and wanted to serve the Lord, and you saw me doing things that you knew weren't compatible with serving the Lord, you would say, this is what he says, but this is what he does. And it's hard for me to believe that. Because if I'm not doing it, so I'm going to be speaking with my actions what I'm doing. That, what my desires are, where my heart is centered, where your heart is, there will, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's expressing where my heart is centered. So we're talking about the seat of our affections, things that I value. And that gets involved in my mind. I say it is the seed of our desires, and it works in tandem with our minds. The Lord would have us to recognize where our minds are centered and what we're wanting to do. When my heart, I don't know exactly how Eve must have felt, but I like to think that somewhere she got a certain amount of physical attraction that came to this tree, but it may have happened even before that. It could have happened that when the Lord said, don't eat of that tree. I see this in our children. I've seen it in myself. If you tell me I can't do something, it gives a certain amount of, I want to see if I can do that. And a child, it seemed like when I told my children, don't do that, it almost had an added layer of curiosity when I told them, don't. I don't know whether that's been your experience. That's been kind of mine. It's been my experience in my own life that when somebody said, don't do that, it added a certain amount of, I want to see why. I don't think that's necessarily good. Because then the mind gets involved. And that could have been what happened when the Lord told Adam and Eve, don't go eat of that tree over there. That's the only thing you don't need. You can have everything else in this garden. You can enjoy everything that I've made you. You can eat all these other fruits, but this one, don't go near that one. Well, the curiosity kicked in. The mind, the heart somewhere, there was something opened up, and I think she began looking over there to see what's going on. And she got closer. The curiosity brought her closer, and then she started hearing the appeal of the enemy of her soul and ours. I think that's what happens to most of us, isn't it? We get a little too close. We get the curiosity going. And so then the verse becomes a little bit more real when he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. The reason why he said keep your heart with all diligence is because that's the area that we have the vulnerability in. My desires start getting involved. So over here, back again, I trying to define the heart when we're talking about the heart here. Again, have you ever noticed too, when you think, even when you're talking about the heart of man, it you almost still put your hand here when you're thinking about the heart, because it's just the center of our being. My desires is a heart. And anyway, he was talking here again to the Philippian church. And he told these two fellows to get along. And then he said, be of the same mind. Then he said in verse 3, true yoke fellows, help the women that labored with me. And my fellow laborers whose names are written are in the book of life. Fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always. These were counsels that he was giving to this congregation right toward the end of his letter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, it's hard to be looking at that tree over there and wondering about it when I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. That's a good antidote for curiosity of sin. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. The reason why I think the Lord would have us to think about this morning is because we have a tempter. And we all face and are confronted with things in this day's time. Today's temptations are different than the ones 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's different. It's changed. The devil's never satisfied to stay with his old tricks. He always wants to invent some new ones, try to get us, catch us off guard and be more vulnerable to his temptations. But he always works in the same manner. He works in what I'm thinking, with my mind, with my heart, where my desires go. He works through that. They use new technologies or new things. In the Sunday school lesson this morning before we got started there, a brother was mentioning about how we, in the past, and we haven't abandoned it, but we've given great cautions against the things we look at, the television, the things that we have in our homes. We've mentioned that. But folks, this is almost outstripped the television. I think it has. I think it has a greater level of danger in today's society. So then when we see the temptations, when we have things that come against us, then I say, Lord, where's my heart? What do I want? It has to do with being holy in the sight of the Lord. It has to do with wanting to serve the Lord. These songs we sing, we have adoration in those songs toward the Lord. Lord, I'll follow you all the way. And it's good to have that resolve, but it's better. It's an added benefit to follow through with that desire. I have that resolve to follow the Lord, but I want to put it in shoe leather where every day I'll meet my temptations. And at that time of temptation, though I feel the abrasion, I can almost hear the voice saying, come over here a little closer to this tree and just observe the beauty. There's surely nothing wrong, but be careful, because what happens then, my heart is losing its resolve. And now my mind's getting involved. And I start opening the door to something that the devil wants to enter in that door and plant poison in my heart. Or I'm distracted. And I get over then in his territory. That's what I ask, that Lord help us to put holiness on these devices. Not just these devices, but many other things. The reason why I want to say that, the devil is working to try to infect our hearts and our minds, because he wants to weaken our relationship with the Lord. See, sin and these corrupting things is something that will cause a division, cause a separation. Adam and Eve, after they partook of that, they went and hid. They hid not because God was going to kill them, but because they were guilty. They knew in their heart, up against the Lord, that they didn't feel like, just the day before, they felt like talking with the Lord. They rejoiced in the Lord. Rejoice, I say. In, what was it over here? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think they had been doing that the day or two before. They had talked with the Lord in the cool of the day. They had enjoyed that relationship with the Lord. But this day was different. They didn't feel like talking with him, because they had guilt. They didn't know how to deal with what had happened. They also recognized themselves in a different light than what they ever had before. They saw, and they couldn't roll back the clock to the moments before it had happened, and they couldn't restore that. They couldn't. The Lord in His mercy, from the foundation of the earth, devised a plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. But I'm talking right now about how we walk with the Lord now in our day. As we walk, go out there and you meet those temptations, and you're going to feel the devil sometimes in temptations. He'll tell you that you walk too close to that temptation, and you may have. But he'll try to tell you, because you walked and you felt that temptation, you were too close to it, he'll say, then you're lost now. You can't go back. I think that's a tactic that the devil will do on many people, especially if we have a sensitive conscience. The devil will try to tell you that you are lost. And that's not always the case. I think many times it's just a matter of saying, Lord, I thank you for your correction, for your awakening me and helping me realize that I was too close to that temptation. Help me, Lord, to do better. I want your grace in me. I want your strength in me. I want your Holy Spirit guiding my life. And I don't want to walk that close. I want my heart to be kept. Keep my heart with all carefulness, diligence. Be willing to take my heart and say, heart, you're not the ruler of me. My mind, I have choice in this matter. And the Lord would have us take our hearts and bring it into subjection to the knowledge of God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I don't know exactly how Brother Paul was applying that verse to this situation, but let your moderation be known to all men. I think the Lord would have us to live in such a way that our lives aren't always on the edge of taking the risks of the world. Be moderated. Let the Word of God bring us back into the right balanced plane of life, or neither. The Lord doesn't want us to be over here on the fanatical side, nor does He want us to be over here in the danger of temptations. He wants us to be stable and moderate, right down that where the plumb line, where the truth of God is just true and righteous. He doesn't want us to feel so under stress that I can't enjoy my walk with the Lord. But He doesn't want me to feel so relaxed that I feel like I can stand up real close to all this sin. I'm just telling you, the Lord has a balance in life. He wants to protect us from sin. He also wants to protect us from the carnal mind of fanaticism too. He wants you to find this place of balance. So keep your heart. There is a place that the Lord wants to lead us. It's just a comfortable place of living for the Lord and enjoying. I believe Adam and Eve enjoyed the Lord coming and walking and talking with them in the cool of the day until they had guilt on their heart. But today, through Jesus Christ, the blood, and through the holy work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can be back in that place where we can say, come and talk with me, Lord, and enjoy that communion with Him again. Thank the Lord for that sanctifying portion. Well, next verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Did I miss? There, next verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there's where I got that. Keep your hearts and minds. When I read that the other day, I was thinking about the interaction Paul said, your hearts and your minds. And I thought, oh, what's the difference here? Well, they're pretty closely tied. But the Lord has given us a mind to be active and thinking, and it's good. I'm not one of those that'll tell you not to pursue knowledge, because I think knowledge is good, to, especially godly knowledge. I have a lot of trivial knowledge I like. There's a lot of things I've enjoyed learning. I love learning. always have. I didn't do well in school because of my inabilities to learn the setting of school. But I'm dyslexic, so it was difficult for me to fit in well in school. But I love learning, and I've got a lot of trivial knowledge that it's good. I'm not opposed to that, but the knowledge that we have at our fingertips today, and we after godliness, it's wonderful. This same thing that I was telling you, be careful with. This little device right here, I know it's all worn right now, but this thing right here is also a tool that I have used in biblical research. And there's so much at our fingertips. You can use it right. And I say, be careful with your heart when you pick that thing up. And your mind. I can tell you how many times, and I'll just tell you the last few days when I was sick and I sought for diversion. My stomach was just painful. And couldn't get away from it. So I sought for diversion here. And I want to tell you, my mind didn't feel much like really studying the scripture. When I open that thing up, there's a whole lot of other things that'll try to get your mind too. And so I say, be careful. When we know we're weak, Lord, help us to know how to handle ourselves. Be careful. Let your moderation be known. Oh, the sixth verse says, be careful for nothing is what this says. But what this in this verse, it meant, be careful for nothing. Don't be overwrought with care. Don't be full of anxiety. Don't let that be the thing that drives you. Have a trust in the Lord. Have a faith that I don't understand how it's going to work out right now. But my faith and trust is still in the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My heart is something that the Lord wants the door of my heart to be held carefully, conscientiously. I've heard people say that I really couldn't help. I just fell in love. I understand some of those feelings, but it's not beneficial for me to say that I have no control over it. Because we do have control over it. It's not good to give up a fight before I fight. Be willing to say, no, this is what the Lord has given me, and I don't want it just to be taken over by the passions. I want to bring those things into subjection. How was it that Paul categorized his fight? He said, I keep my body under. Didn't he say that? He's referring to this struggle between the carnal desires of my heart, these things that I can let myself, my mind can get involved, my senses can get involved, my eyes, my mind starts saying, but I want to look. That fruit is there's something very attractive over there. And even though the Lord said I shouldn't eat of it, I'm going to go take a closer look. And so the Lord gives us caution. We ought to be able to learn from those who have not done well. We should see those who, like David, when he should have been more attentive to what he was doing, he got over there, got up on his roof and started looking, and he let himself get involved. For us in our day to recognize there's others have proven roads of mistake, and we don't need to reinvent that. We should say, God help us now, that I don't want to get that close to it. I just want to put up good boundaries in my life. And God in His mercy reveals some of that to you and I, that we can see, we can perceive it, but my heart can say, oh, but I'm curious. And I say, Lord, here's where the Holy Spirit wants to come in and touch that heart. There is an antidote to that. And this morning I want to encourage us to anchor it, to settle it in our hearts, in our minds, that I'm not going to walk that close. My heart and my mind, that the peace of God and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is something that the Lord wants to offer us that is much greater, much more of greater authority than these other, the glittery attractions of that would be corrupting to my heart and my mind. There's something better than that, and that is divine and heart peace. You look at people who have went down the road of letting corruption come in their life, they don't have peace. Now God would like to reestablish that peace in their heart if they'll come to Him. But this is what God wants us to value more highly than anything else, is a peace of God that passes understanding. See that and be attracted to experience that, and that to be the thing that is the ultimate in my heart. And I don't let my mind get involved with it. I don't think I've done well with connecting our heart and mind here this morning, but I want to encourage us to recognize how my heart is this affections that we have that can go out, and then my mind starts getting involved, and be careful that our hearts and our minds don't work against the will of God. They don't need to work against the will of the Lord. God has made it so that we can keep our heart with all diligence. As the proverb wrote, the one Psalm Solomon wrote in Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then the next verse says, put away from thee a froward mouth. There's some things that we recognize that shouldn't be a part of us, and we put those things away. It's not just keeping my heart with all diligence, but when I recognize something is not like the Lord, we should reject it and push it away. That we would be kept, that we would not be in the place of vulnerability, that our heart may be kept with all diligence, carefulness. So this morning, I didn't know that time was that late anyway, but I'm tired, very tired. So I feel like the Lord has strengthened me though, and I thank the Lord for that. So I hope these thoughts can be a benefit to us. I thank the Lord would have us to be careful with where I let my mind run. That our hearts we'd have a pure heart toward the Lord, not one that is mixed with human and carnal desire and is infected perhaps with things that are unwholesome. The Lord wants us to have a pure heart. A pure Holy Spirit, you see. And I've thought of that. I've used that, that way of describing it before. That I think we all recognize when we were going after our own desires in life, that was unwholesome and unholy way of living, and it was a way that my spirit was corrupted. I was corrupt. It was not a Holy Spirit that that guided my life before the Lord saved me. But the Lord has given us His Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, and He said He'd come and be within us. And I'm so very thankful for that. That the old corruption can be dethroned and the holy can be on the throne. Then the Lord looks at us in the scripture. Brother Paul looked at people and said, keep your heart. Your heart and mind. Lord, help us to do that. And let the peace of God that passeth, let that be our focus. Lord, I want You more than the glitter of the things that attract me here. I want You, I want that peace more than what I might encounter here. And I don't want just to focus this morning just be on this telephone, but it's part of it. That's what we encounter that today. It can be good or it can be bad, but Lord, help us to shun the evil. We can eat of all this good. The tree is there. There's a tree of life. Eat of that. Eat of all that to the fullest, to the satisfaction of your soul. Enjoy everything else in the garden, but not this one. Stay away from that. And then He says, keep your heart. Don't let yourself get over there. Don't let your mind get involved. The curiosity, all this that the devil would use to try to weaken our resolve for the Lord. May the Lord help us today to be faithful unto Him. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.